Today on Real Radio.
But before I go to that verse, have you ever had someone ever say to you, I don't need to know those kinds of verses in the Bible, and I don't need to go through this part of the gospel because he's coming like a thief in the night anyway. Has anyone ever told you that? My Bible doesn't say that in the context that you mean. So what do you mean? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that he comes as a thief in the night to the believer.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 21. The passage tells us of the Messiah's closest followers firing questions at Jesus having to do with future events. As we are learning in this mini-series, some of the prophecies have been fulfilled, some not yet. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in his mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus.
Jesus throws out the truth and you will accept it or you will reject it. And so he throws out this truth and it's a warning, as it is an instruction. And he says, look at the fig tree. And for that matter, look at all trees. When they are already budding, that means you're well into spring now, if they're budding. That means they've already leafed. They've got leaves. And the blossoms are beginning to open up. He says, you see and you know for yourselves personally that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happen, again, the word in Greek means begin to happen. When you begin to see indicators that speak of these last day global events, know that the kingdom of God is approaching. This is an amazing thing. Now, the fig tree in the scriptures, the book of Hosea, by the way, the book of Jeremiah, and I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm just going to state it. The fig tree in the Old and New Testament is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So it's an interesting thing that Jesus is saying. He says, when you see the fig tree, everybody back then 2,000 years ago would have said, oh, he's talking about Israel. And all trees, speaking about the nations of the world. There's going to be a time, Jesus said, now this is awesome, in the last days, that all the nations of the world will coexist with the nation of Israel. That is new since 1948. That is true since 1948. Jesus says in the last days, there'll be Israel and all the nations of the world. And when you see that, know this, that it's like those trees, those nations are beginning to put forth signs and indicators that my return is near. Global debate, global wars, global interaction, a global world, while Israel is in existence again. 3 John, the epistle of 3 John verse 4 says right there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What an awesome thing. That's the heart of a pastor. That's the heart of John. That's the heart of Jesus. Listen, what you want to do in these last days to be ready and to stay ready is to walk in the truth, to be on guard against what's a lie, to be on guard against that which is false. That's why you need to know the Bible more than ever. With all the things that are pulling for your attention, you'll never walk in truth unless you're in the word more, more, more in the Bible, more in the Bible, knowing God's word, God's truth. It brings light to your life. Walking in truth is this, that the Christian would be one living and functioning through this world and in this world, in the word of God, the revealed word of God. That's how you walk in truth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. How is it that the Christian, the real Christian, makes a difference in this world? Listen, we cannot help but make a difference in this world because we walk in truth. It's not us doing it. It's the truth in us. It's the truth coming out of us that does it. That's Matthew 5:14. But did you know what Jack 1:1 says? Jack 1:1 says, you are human flashlights in this world. A real Christian cannot be disguised. That's what that means. Everywhere you and I are walking around, we're just beaming the light of God. That's what the believer does wherever we go. We walk into a room, and by our words, by our actions, by our attitude, things change. For what motive? For what reason? Walking in that truth, one of those things, one of those aspects of walking in the truth of God, and that is walking in the light of God, is that others might know him. In these last days, that others might know him, that through our lives, people might come to know Jesus. Check this verse out, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Great verse. It says, do all things without complaining and arguing. I told you, hey, listen, write it down. Mom and dad, write that verse down for your kids. Do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without blame in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world, holding fast the word of life. That's the Christian. How fun is that? A moment ago, we prayed for these soldiers as they go out into the world. You know what? Wait a minute. In a moment, you're going to be dismissed from the sanctuary and you're going to go out into the world as soldiers for Christ. Oh, not to conquer and to launch a crusade and to do that. No, no. The kingdom that we follow, the war that we fight is in the spirit. And we fight against principalities and powers, against demonic forces. Why? To get those who are lost to come into the truth of God, that is into the light of God, that they might know God. Amen. The kingdom that we fight for does not respond to bombs and things like that. It's a spiritual world. And to walk in the light is to walk in the truth of God. And to walk in the truth of God is to walk in the light. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 5 says, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The Bible says that it is the Lord that brings illumination to our understanding. The Bible says that if you don't know God today, that you're walking in darkness. Spiritual darkness. You're in the dark. 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. This is a great verse. 1 John 1 6. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Notice the truth and the light cannot be separated because they are absolutely co-equal. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is in fact truth. The Bible also says that God is light. You can't separate the two. And so the scripture says that if we're walking in darkness and not in the light, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. But verse 7 of 1 John 1 says, but if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. What an awesome verse. Look at that. That's fantastic. Why is that important? Because look, as you look to the screen, the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's the amazing thing. 1 John was written to Christians. He didn't write it to non-believers. 1 John, when you study 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he writes to believers only. Non-believers are not supposed to read 1st John, 2nd or 3rd John. It's not for them. They don't get it, and the promises there are not for them. But if you are a believer, John is speaking to you. Now watch this. Are you born again? Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you given your life to Christ? Are you trusting him? You are in the family of God. That being true, when that verse says that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. If you're a Christian today and you are not walking in the light, you are backslidden. Have you ever heard that term before? You're backslidden, meaning that you belong to God, but you're not walking with God. God's in the light and he stays in the light because he is light, and wherever he goes, there's light. You and I can be a believer and wander off into the darkness. You know, when Bubbles calls and says, hey, what are you doing tonight, strong man? Pulling you off the path. Whatever it might be, could be your thought life, could be your actions, whatever. The Christian's going down the path. He's moving onward with Jesus. And ever so slightly, isn't it true? Ever so slightly, we begin to wander off. And we don't even notice. Have you noticed how the light changes spiritually? And then all of a sudden, we wake up and we're in the dark. Sometimes we have to get kind of slapped around like this as a believer. We wander off the path. We're not walking with God. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's years. Maybe we're even like holding out on God. I'm not going back to church until you do what I want you to do. Kind of holding God hostage. That Sunday school teacher hurt my feelings, so I'm going to take it out on you, God, like he had something to do with it. And all of a sudden, because God loves you, doesn't the Bible say that the Lord rebukes and chastens all those who belong to him? And that the Bible says if you are not being corrected by God when you do something wrong, you are not one of his children. For those of us who know what it's like to be one of his kids, when God spanks us, remember, he gets our attention. Sometimes it takes a spanking. It could be an incident, could be an accident, could be something where we wake up and say, I'm far from God. Wasn't it with Jonah that it took a great fish to swallow him, to wake him up? I'm far from God. Could be an accident in your life. Could be a sickness that gets your attention. And like the prodigal son, you say, I need to go back home. And you come out of the darkness and the believer runs back to the light. What does God do? Stay out there. Oh, no. He opens up the door. You can see almost the kingdom radiating its light as you run toward it, can't you? But when he disciplines us, you know when God is disciplining us. And you know when the world disciplines us. The world disciplines us this way. It comes down on us and crushes us. It's called condemnation. It kills us, crushes us. You big loser. Yeah, I know I am. You'll never amount to anything. God can't stand you. He loves everybody in the world but you. Yeah, that's right. That's the world. The greatest thing is that you be walking with him in fellowship and that you understand that his truth will keep you ready. Like never before. It will save your life. Now listen to this. Very important. It's the issue that Jesus is stressing is that the believer can tell, can recognize the season. Now the Bible is very clear that the scripture declares that no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return. And I'm glad. But the Bible says concerning the times and the seasons, you'll know. Isn't that awesome? That's exactly, that dovetails perfectly into what the Lord is teaching us here. You say, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, I'm going to answer that in a second. You'll read it with me in a second. But before I go to that verse, have you ever had someone ever say to you, I don't need to know those kinds of verses in the Bible, and I don't need to go through this part of the gospel because he's coming like a thief in the night anyway. Has anyone ever told you that? My Bible doesn't say that in the context that you mean. So what do you mean? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that he comes as a thief in the night to the believer. It says that he's going to come as a thief in the night to the unbeliever. Did you know that? Did you know that the true believer will begin to feel, discern, sense, recognize the times and the seasons of his coming? Not the day or the hour. So where's that verse? I knew you would ask. That's why you're going to see it here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly. Watch it. Get your highlighter ready. That the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Ask the question. For whom? Verse 3, for when, what does it say? They say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because, look, verse 5, you are all sons of light. Sons of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Isn't that awesome? Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God enough that you can look around at the world scene and understand, hey, you know what? We're living at times, it's never been as late as it is now concerning God's prophetic clock. We've never lived this day before. We're closer than ever. He expects you and I to be ready this way. Verses 32 to 35, it is this, that we need to be disciplined because being ready causes you and I to be disciplined. Now, we don't like to hear the word disciplined. We just don't like it. It goes against our will, I think. But when I say the word discipline, I mean in shape, to get in shape. The Bible speaks, Paul the Apostle speaks about getting his spiritual life in shape. Paul says, I buffet myself to get myself into shape. 5 o'clock in the morning on every Friday, there's a handful of people that pray at this church. And by the way, it's open to everybody to come. Are you without a job? What are you doing at 5 a.m.? Come and pray with us then. What are you doing at 5 a.m.? Come and pray. You say, man, that's early. That's right. It's awesome. Come and pray with us. Fridays, 5 a.m. But you know, there's about 10 of us here. But did you know right across the parking lot at LA Fitness, there's about 150 people there at 5 a.m.? And we come in like this with our coffee, with an IV running to our veins, we come in here and pray, and those people over there, they got their spandex tighties on, and they're like, come on, man! They're punching each other around, doing all this stuff. Let me tell you, which one's going to last forever? Mm-hmm. Which one, though, do more people get into? Mm-hmm. The one that lasts the shortest. And in what way does that equip you over there for the world? You say, well, I have more energy. That's fantastic. More energy what? As you're on your way to hell, I've got more energy. No, I'm not saying, now, I didn't mean that if you work out at LA Fitness, you're going to hell. I didn't mean that. But priorities speak a lot. You can be exercising. You're going to write me a note, Pastor Jack, I want you to know that I go there, and I'm praying while I'm exercising. That's awesome. Great. That's great. But my point is this. We need to discipline our lives, not only physically. We all need to work out. I mean, look at us. We need to work out. I need to do it. I'm trying to do it. It hurts, though. And the Bible says physical exercise profits a little bit, but spiritual exercise profits eternally. Amen. Okay, that's my excuse for not working out. But we need to be a disciplined people. And Jesus says in verse 32, assuredly, I say to you. Will you mark that down? Assuredly, that's truly, truly. I say to you. Mark that. I say to you. This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Two things. Number one, when he says this generation, scholars have argued as to what it means. The word genea in Greek means either a time frame or a race of people. What is the answer? The answer is both. In the last days, the world will see the events culminating that indicate that the Lord is near to returning. Important, all people. That will happen during the time that Israel has been brought back from the world and is a nation again. The word is pregnant with both meanings. Both apply. But here's the most important thing to me. Jesus is the only prophet in all of the Bible that never said, thus saith the Lord. Look at it. Assuredly, I say to you. Look down at the end of the verse. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. That's the atmosphere, the starry sky, and the earth will pass away. But what? My words will by no means pass away. Isn't this incredible? Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord, Peter. Thus saith the Lord, John. Jesus says, I say unto you. Why? Because he was the Lord. Why would he say, thus saith the Lord? He was the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. That's me. No, he would say, I'm saying to you. I say to you. Because he's the Lord. I say to you. He's the only one. Isn't that awesome? And Jesus says, and this is a declaration of deity. If you're struggling, is Jesus God? How about this one? My words will never cease to exist. They are eternal. The atmosphere, the stars, they'll perish. The earth will vanish away. My words are eternal. That's a declaration of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. What an amazing statement. Listen to this. Talk about working out and being disciplined spiritually as a believer. Listen, church, I wish I could do this. And that is, I wish I could hook all you guys up and make you work out spiritually and say things like this. Now, I'm just pretending right now, okay? This isn't for real. But you're going to do children's ministry and you're going to do parking lot ministry and you're going to do greeters ministry and you're going to be doing evangelism ministry. And I mean, that's what I would do if I was a dictator. But God doesn't do that to us, does he? No. He says, hey, you guys, if you would like to get involved in ministry and greeting and parking lot ministry and service, come. Don't bury your gift, your talents. Come on. He invites you. When the scripture tells us that we are to be disciplined as believers, it means that you and I are to get up. I mean, think about just a normal morning where you get up tomorrow morning, it's time to go to work, you shave or you do whatever you do if you're a girl, but a guy, we shave, we do things, we whatever, and we go and we do, and there's certain disciplines. You got to leave the house at a certain time, you got to be dressed a certain way, you got to whatever. These are disciplines. We do them so often that they're called a routine. And that's exactly how we should be spiritually, not lazy about it. We should be more disciplined in our spiritual life than we are in our physical life. By the way, if you're disciplined in your spiritual life, your physical life will be incredibly blessed. Very, very much so. I preface that with this verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Listen carefully. And I'm going to read this, and you need to follow with me. Watch. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And if I stopped right there, you would begin to panic. What was that verse again? Continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's a comma right there before it goes to the 13th verse. Did you know that verse, verse 12, cults have been made on that verse? Did you know I could say here right now, hey, the Bible says that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So start shaking, man. You better be terrified. You could burn in hell in any moment. And you better work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, no. And you feel saved on Sunday, but then you feel lost by Monday afternoon. But then again, you feel saved on Wednesday, but you feel lost by Thursday. People live like that because they never read the verse that follows. See, the word to work out your own salvation, the word work out means to present yourself fully. It doesn't mean to do anything other than this, to bring yourself to Him. And then what? That's verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, those of you who are halfway sleepy right now, you're like, what? And you're going to go away all messed up. You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, you present yourself before the holy living God and say, Lord, here I am. You died on the cross for me. I'm going to live in this world for you. What do you want me to do, God? And the Lord says, awesome. I live inside you by the power of my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to start calling the shots in your life. Do you trust me? Yes, Lord. And this is what I want you to do. And God begins to speak. God begins to use you. You say, Jack, that's a radical way to live. You know what? In my opinion, it's the only way to live. Because you know what? If you think, Jesus said, if you give up your life, you're going to find it. But if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. Why? It's all about control. You can go around this world thinking that you have control and you try to control everything, and you really just kind of wind up having a life of a very mediocre Christian existence. You're going to heaven, but you're not having much fun en route. And you're not seeing much of what God wants to do. You hear about it and read about it in books, but none of that's happening with you. Why? Because you have not gone to the next verse.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus. And of course, the implication being that we can believe in a false Jesus as well as false prophets, false doctrines, and so forth, just as Scripture warns, both Old and New Testaments. It's part of our verse-by-verse journey through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in commemoration of Passion Week and the Real Jesus, we recently brought to you portions of a four-part series called Only Jesus, and we want to let you know that it's still available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.